So a few weeks ago, I sat down with the host of the Family Room podcast, Peter.
What are you afraid of?
I think I'm afraid of not having enough money. Huh. I think that's always a fear. Yeah. Of just not being able to take care of myself. Where I sometimes freak out if we go to Anjou, which is like a pretty nice restaurant, and we leave paying $30 a piece. And I'm like, should I have done that? Will the bottom fall out? If I keep making these choices, am I going to be in debt and not be able to support myself?
I think about this a lot. And when Peter asked me this question, I was thinking about it more than usual.
Come on, come on.
I have to buy a new car. But this isn't just about buying a car. It's about looking into my bank account and seeing for the first time that I've saved more money than I've ever had in my whole life. But now I'm forced to spend it in one place based on one decision, on something I need, but I admit I don't really care about. Disclaimers, I'm going to be using the names of a few brands. And I just want to make it clear, this is not a commercial. They have not paid me to use their names. You're listening to Millennial, a podcast about maneuvering your 20s captured in real time. I'm entering an unfamiliar world.
Here at AZ Auto Sales, we have a huge inventory.
It's only got 105,000 miles on it and it's blue.
Pick out your whip so you can nay-nay.
We don't have popcorn in our lobby, but I'll tell you what we do have. High five.
Luckily, I have a guide. If you've listened to the previous episodes of Millennial, you know this guy.
We'll be good cop, bad cop.
Okay.
You be the good cop, I'll be the bad cop.
That does work.
Oh, it turned on.
Nice.
What was the grinding noise?
It's just broken.
Just broken.
The other night, I jumped into my car with a couple of friends to test if it was working.
You smell that smell?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's the bed. Like.
Oh, I was like, I didn't know Megan smoked.
No, that's the car.
Weird.
It's so like bad. Yeah.
Let me just say, I love my car, but it's falling apart. And when my mom came to visit me a few months ago, she could also tell that it was falling apart.
And that's when I like when you need to get a new car. And yeah. You were like, Mom, don't tell me what to do.
But I didn't listen to her. When I took it to my mechanic, he also told me I needed to get a new car. But I didn't listen to him either. Until my car is becoming more of a hoopty every single day.
What did he do with that?
My boyfriend Ben accidentally blew out my back window.
Looking for cars. I want it to be between $5,000 and $8,000. Ugh, even though I really just want it to be $5,000.
But I don't know anything about cars or what I need to do to find a car. Where should I start looking? What should I be looking for? How do I know if I'm being ripped off? How do I know if I'm getting a good deal?
Toyota Prius C. Toyota Prius V.
So I caught up the man, the myth, the legend.
Right. Are we recording all of this?
We are recording all of this.
Are we going to record every time we talk to a dealer?
Ben's father, Chuck Severance.
And you want to look grubby?
I want to look grubby?
You want to look grubby, cheap, and dirty. This is as formal as you want to get. All right.
So we should look like twins?
When you walk in and we talk to a dealer, the one thing when he says this is only $6,000, you want to say, that's a lot more than I wanted to spend. Okay?
Okay.
Because you don't want him to, you don't want to walk in and say, I want to pay $8,000, and he has a car on the lot for $8,000.
Okay.
You want to get that $8,000 car for $7,200. All right, so you need to bring with you if we're going to be out for 4 or 5 hours.
Yeah.
So we're not stopping back here because of something you forgot.
All right. What do I need? I got my checkbook and my
identity.
Do we need snacks?
You always need snacks. Nobody wants to get hangry.
Wish me luck.
Have fun. Good luck. Come back with a car.
Where are we going first?
We're going to Rochester.
But first, snacks. Wow. Right? Fluffy.
Nice donut. Very nice.
Isn't that good? Mm. Yeah. Those are the best crawlers in town. Maybe in New England.
Probably are.
With sticky donut fingertips, I feel like we're on a proper mission. Why did you say you don't, it's not about luck?
About buying a vehicle?
Yeah.
It's work. It's work. Unless you, when you want to buy a vehicle, you want to start 2 months in advance of when you want it. You, Megan Tan, want a specific car.
It's a Prius. And even though Chuck isn't sold on Priuses, he's being supportive.
That means legwork.
I guess I just didn't understand like how much work.
It is to find one?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I just thought, make a list, do some research, find a place, and that was it. I had no idea that this process could take months and that the car wheeling and dealing world is a game of its own. How do you
buy a car?
Yeah.
First of all, Megan Tan, you don't go in looking for a car that everybody else wants.
Oops.
You go in and buy a car that nobody wants, but you've already resolved the fact that you want one of these. So all you can do is ask the guy what the best deal he's going to give you. Because then you can say, no, I'm leaving to look somewhere else. And then it goes from there. You got to be able to say no.
Right. Yep. Here, hold on, slow down. Yep, there they go.
This discussion to follow.
Okay. Wow, he has a lot.
Yes, we'll be good cop, bad cop.
Okay.
You be the good cop, I'll be the bad cop.
Okay. We arrive to our first place and out walks the dealer.
I'm Megan.
I'm Matt.
Nice to meet you. Thanks for letting me bring my recording stuff.
Sure.
And then this is Chuck.
Hi.
This is Matt.
You pretty much, Prius is it, huh?
Yeah. Are you familiar with the Prius at all?
Absolutely not a thing, other than the fact that it's called a Prius.
Okay. Come on in the shop a minute. Let me show you.
Not even 5 minutes in, and Matt's leading us into a shop toward one of the Priuses that he's working on.
When you plug these in, is that recharging that unit, or do you have to have that in to run the car?
That's got a battery in it.
So what is that plug-in thing for?
That's for this. Why don't you take one for a ride?
Okay. Yeah.
What do you think
you
like?
Let's go with the 2008.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's just see what this feels like.
As Matt disappears into his shop, Chuck leans into me like we work for the CIA and we're on a case. And he says,
his overhead is non-existent. He eats, you know, he lives where he works.
Yeah.
So I think he gives good deals. He seems very nice.
Yeah.
No bad vibes, like, you know, get the hell out of here because he's going to shoot you or something, but
that's always good.
That's always good.
All right. Okay, we'll go around the bend.
You know what you're doing, Megan?
I think so.
Okay.
You go like this.
You put a key in? The motor starts.
But the car's still on.
Okay, so how do you get going again?
You just...
As you can tell, neither of us has ever driven a Prius.
Feels good.
Okay, there we go. Now we get some speed up. How fast are you going now? All of 45, 35? Pretty neat. Pretty neat.
To pay for a car like this, do you pay for it in cash? Or would you write a check?
Whichever way you want to do it.
Because I remember I was telling you I don't feel comfortable getting a loan from the bank, right? Mm-hmm. Loans make me feel uncomfortable because I've heard a lot of stories.
The key trigger of the 2008 financial meltdown was easy lending in the U.S. housing market.
For people who have lost their homes in America's mortgage crisis.
I do think we're in a recession.
And both houses together were $10,000 a month.
You can go into oblivion and nobody will know.
And they never end well. The bottom usually falls out. I'm also afraid of loans because it feels like someone's luring me to spend more money than I have. And owing someone money makes me feel like I have strings attached and someone has more control over my life than I'd like. It's kind of like Rumpelstiltskin and your firstborn child. That's like your firstborn child. You exchange the promise of your firstborn child for money in order to cruise around in your car.
And then you have to have insurance on the vehicle. Is that what you're considering doing?
No.
Oh, why?
Sounds awful. But what you're saying if everything goes through okay, that it's good.
Yeah.
Okay. It just seems like a little too easy. You know what I mean? Do you think I need to look at other cars and other dealers, or you think?
I think the car's nice. I was Andy Prius, and now I'm not. That's a nice little car.
Extremely well built. Nice little car.
Thank you. So I talked to Matt about my $7,000 budget, and he tells me he can take a couple $100s off. I walk away calm, composed, like a professional car buyer. But on the inside, I feel like this.
You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
I was so excited that I even called my mom.
I think I found a car.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Prius?
Yeah. It sounds like a good car. Feels like a good car. This guy sounds like a good guy.
When Chuck left to go home, I thought, this wasn't so bad. A piece of cake, really. I had found the exact car I wanted for the price that I wanted on the first try.
Have a time.
But before I withdrew most of the money from my checking account in exchange for this car, it has to pass one more test. I have to take it to my auto mechanic.
So it must have been hit pretty hard back
here.
Bubbled under the tire over here.
So I'm in the back of the shop with the mechanics, and we're peering into the back end of this Prius that I just brought over. And one by one, almost like little kids peeking into a lizard cage, everyone in the shop starts coming over, trying to get a better look.
So was their body work done after the hit?
Oh, yeah.
What do you think?
it seems funny. Why would they leave it alone?
What does this mean, guys? This car is salvaged, which means it was in a car accident. I knew this. Matt told me, and he showed me some pictures. But the expressions on the mechanics' faces are making me nervous. They tell me that the car was hit in the back end, and instead of being replaced with a nice steel part, it was replaced with different parts. Welded together.
What do you guys think? Would you let your daughter get a salvaged car?
I can tell you it's not going to last like it would have. And it's going to rust. All this damage is going to cause rust. It'll probably last a couple of years without much trouble.
I wasn't looking to drop $7,000 on 2 good years without much trouble. I was looking to drop $7,000 on 7 good years with no trouble.
Decisions, decisions, decisions.
20 minutes ticks by, and Jeremy, my mechanic, is waving me down.
So, do you have everything there is to know about this car in your hands right now?
He pushes the paper toward me.
Me, oh my. Where do you think that would leave me?
It's totally up to you.
But I've never bought anything salvaged.
That scares me. I'll tell you that.
Salvaged.
If it scares me, it should scare you.
If it scares me, it should scare you. That's definitely not what I want to hear from my auto mechanic about a car that I'm about to buy.
All right, Jeremy. I'm not saying you come with good news all the time,
but I tell you what it is.
Yeah, you come with honest news. I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. All right, tell your team thank you too.
You can't touch this.
And with that, the luck that I thought I had flew out the window.
The disappointment. Oof, so sad. Hello. I'm just returning the car.
Okay.
I think they were nervous about the back.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes me a little... Mm-hmm. Nervous.
Would you feel more comfortable with one that was hit in the side?
The answer was no. I would not feel more comfortable. But Matt was such a nice guy that I pretended like I was interested for another 10 minutes, and then I left. I didn't leave in a Prius. I left in a car that was not registered, didn't pass the state's inspection test, and now because the back window is busted out, I have a bright blue tarp covering up the window.
What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do? What am I gonna do?
And then, when I didn't think the day could get any worse.
Head northwest on Rogers Road towards State Road. In 400 feet.
So help me out. I got a bunch of things. Your like I said, your registration expired last September. That's way out. You're telling me you are insured?
Yes.
You're definitely insured?
Yes.
Apparently,
I've been carrying around an expired car insurance card for the last 6 months because when my updated one came in the mail, I forgot to swap it out. I'm really failing as an adult today.
Well, you got two things.
Okay.
I'm not going to... It's actually an arrestable offense. It's a Class E misdemeanor to have a car that's over 150 days out of registration.
Okay.
So you got to deal with this. You can't just ignore it. You can't just drive it occasionally and hope to get away with it.
Okay.
Because if I stop you again, I'm going to give you the whole thing. Then you end up going to court and the car gets towed and it turns into a lot of money. Right?
Okay.
So I'm just giving you a warning today is what I'm telling you.
Okay.
I'm telling you that after you finish heading this way, you go back to where your house was and you either get the car registered before you drive it again or you leave it in your driveway.
Okay.
I have no idea if he let me off the hook because I'm a woman. Or if he pulled up my record and saw the only illegal thing that I've done in the past 2 years is run a stop sign. Or if my genuinely confused face triggered some sympathy. I stopped questioning what had happened. And I parked my car. And when I got out of it, I told myself, this car is never going to leave this spot. Unless it's on the back of a truck and it's being taken away. As Ben and I are eating our usual, we don't really have anything in the fridge, so let's eat noodles with kale and cheese. Dinner, I tell him about my day, and I admit, I'm a little whiny.
I'm already, like, ready for it to be over, you know? Why are you looking at me like that?
Because you've only seen one car.
I know! I'm ready for it to be over! I'm stressed.
Don't be stressed.
How do I just not be stressed? What does that even mean?
There's, like, a lot higher stakes stuff. Like, there's not that high stakes. It's just inconvenient.
Buying a car, spending $7,000, you don't think there's a lot of stakes in that?
No. Like the Croc thing. Going to D.C. and the interviews, that was way more stressful. There's more on the line. That's exactly what you wanted for like years. This is you're buying a car. Let's put it in perspective. Do you know what I mean? Like I know it's stressful, but it's like it's not that.
I just feel a little defeated. I just, maybe you want to give me a hug? And this is so, this just takes up so much energy. You know what I mean? I don't care about this. I just want a car. I just want a good car that is just reliable and is worth the money I'm going to spend.
In times like these stupid, logistical, inconvenient, no high stakes times in your life, you just need your boyfriend to give you a hug, tell you that things are going to be okay, and to not give you too much shit about your whining. But now I'm literally running out of time. I can't drive the car I own. Ben's going out of town in 2 days with his car, and next week we're packing up all of our stuff and moving to another city. Now I only have 1 day to find a car. In a pickle like this, I can only think of one person to call. The man. The myth. The legend.
So what are you going to do?
I feel like I gotta start from scratch. I'm not gonna get it. I don't think I'm gonna get it.
I think that's a wise move. Would it be helpful if I came over?
I wanna say, yes, 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 please come up. But instead I say,
I think I'm okay.
A part of me didn't want to be an inconvenience. But there's no fooling Chuck.
Why don't I come over and we'll see what we can do?
Okay. Sounds
all right.
Good.
I won't be there before 11. I'll give you a call when I get closer.
Maybe this is what good car buying luck looks like. Having someone drop everything they're doing on a Wednesday and drive 2.5 hours to your rescue.
Thanks for coming.
Let's see what you got for a list.
Okay, so this
those are the ones you talked about.
This is an Epping.
All right. I strap into Chuck's car and tell myself, here we go again. Car hunt. Round 2.
Say anything?
Do I tell them right off the bat what my budget is or no?
No.
No.
They don't have it, we walk.
So that's a hybrid, but it's a sedan.
It's got to be perfect for us to even consider talking to them. There's got to be nothing wrong with it.
How do we know?
We look.
It's hard to tell who's working there and who's not.
They don't jump out at you, do they?
No.
So this is the best way to buy it. Cash. Bam.
Cash.
This is a huge lot. I know, I've never bought it from a dealer.
It's a learning experience.
It feels like a learning headache.
What's that? That's a Prius.
We don't want to go right over to the Prius.
Or we want them to think we're looking at other things on the
we're
lot.
Looking at anything.
Oh, okay. And it's better to do that. Why?
But you got to assume that they want to negotiate.
This whole process is so counterintuitive. Don't make friends. Don't tell people your name. Google's going to make a car that's going to drive you around.
So what happens when you're driving and the internet goes down?
Well, hopefully you're there.
Hopefully you're there, but not taking a nap.
I'm sure happy I got you as a wing partner. This would be super discouraging if I was by myself.
I'm getting hungry, Megan.
After this, we'll go for lunch.
Thanks.
After 3 hours, 3 towns, 4 dealerships, and 70 miles later, we are pretty hungry. But instead of going out to eat, we find ourselves at this dealership. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you guys?
Good. We're looking for a Toyota Prius. The dealer brings around a dark blue Toyota Prius, and we immediately start analyzing it.
Well, that was a couple dents, huh?
Yeah.
How many miles does it have on it?
103.
103? Do you know how many owners before? Will it pass inspection?
Absolutely.
So you guys have already checked it out?
Yeah, we've checked it out. It just hasn't been cleaned up yet.
Gotcha. Do you know what would be the first thing to go if it had to be replaced? Yeah, like what is its weakest link?
Like on all cars, I'd have to probably say the timing belt.
No, plastic. That's metal.
What's the flexibility on the price with this? Do you know?
I didn't.
So you said 7,000.
155.
And then you said.
Plus the 427 doctor title fee.
427.
26, sorry.
26. Okay. So that comes out.
That comes out to $7,600. And from there, he said he could even give it to me for less. Not bad, huh? Kind of perfect, really. Except this car has also been in an accident. It has more scratch marks than I'd like to invest in, and there's no warranty. Meaning, the moment I drive this vehicle off the lot, if I find anything wrong with it, it's on my dime. I have to pay for it. Womp, womp, womp.
Yeah.
Chuck and I leave to go grab lunch and talk this all out.
So, now you have a decision to be made.
I know. Yeah, it's a good deal. It's kind of like exactly my price range.
Yep.
But the accident records and the scratch marks kind of reminds me of the car that I took to the mechanics. And thinking about buying it makes me feel uneasy. Chuck could read my face because he immediately offers another solution. He says we could go back to the dealership that we passed and drive a more expensive, better-looking Prius. When I tell him that I think that Prius is out of my price range, he says, you could get a loan.
Yeah, I've never gotten a loan before in my life.
So.
My only qualm about it is I just want to make sure that I'm living to my means.
I understand that, but we're having a problem finding a vehicle.
After we spend 30 minutes at lunch talking through the situation, we're about to pay for the check, and I can feel time is running out. I have to decide right now. Am I going to go back to the lot and buy a cheaper car that could cause me more problems? Or buy a more expensive car and take out a loan? I feel like I usually do make decisions based on price. And I usually get the cheap things. And then they break down. Or they're just not of quality. And I feel like with this situation, I don't want to pay for a car that I'm going to have to put a lot of money into later, or now, or...
Well, I understand that. Then you have to buy a newer car.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Let's go look at this.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Right?
All right, yeah.
Let's go look at the more expensive, better-looking Prius. And in the meantime, I'll make some uncomfortable phone calls.
Hi, Jan. My name is Megan Tan, and I am inquiring about possibly taking out a loan for a car. Is there somebody I can talk to?
When we reach the lot, we talk to this guy, who's very nice, and he lets us take the more expensive, better-looking silver Prius with leather seats for a drive.
This is probably the most time we've ever spent together in a car.
I didn't think you'd find a car today that you liked.
So you're surprised?
Yeah.
Are you surprised that I was willing to spend $9,000?
That Megan Tan's willing to spend $9,000? I'm surprised Megan Tan's willing to spend $7,000 to borrow, too. I'm very surprised you went for that.
So it looks like we're having chicken fingers for 6 months.
No, you won't.
A lot happens after college.
That's correct.
Exponentially.
Usually.
Yeah.
And exponentially in the positive, or it gets very down in the negative.
Yeah. I think I did both.
You did, yeah.
Yep.
You had your downs and now you got your ups.
I don't know how I feel about this, though. I don't know what this is. Because this is like...
Level?
No. Like this moment, right? Like going to go buy a car.
Yeah.
It feels more like...
That's because you're doing it for the first time. Yeah. Right? After you've done it 4 or 5 times, like rolling over a log.
I think this would have been harder if you weren't here supporting me.
No problem. As soon as we got off the phone, I knew the trip was going to happen.
How did you know?
Because you need help. Ben's never done it. Ben's never bought a car. So we'll end up doing the same thing.
But then I'll be there telling them what to do. I'll be the good cop, you be the bad cop. As I watch my old car load onto a truck, I think about when I first took it to college, how I drove it to my parents' house after graduation, how it carried me to my first shared apartment with my boyfriend, and how its tattooed dirt floors have witnessed me stumble through this post-graduation phase. Watching it leave, it feels like the end of an era.
There it goes. Bye, Subaru.
The next day, I withdrew most of my money from my checking account and prepared myself to sign a loan. As I drive my new silver accident-free Prius off the lot, I move around in the leather seats and realize this is probably the fanciest thing I've ever owned. And even though now I do owe money on it and my monthly car insurance has increased, I would say I still feel pretty happy with the decision I made.
Yay, we did it!
Editing help for this episode was provided by Sarah Curtis, Ben Severance, and Dylan Ward. Special thanks to Jack Callahan, Jeremy Maddock, Peter Squires, Anna Todd, Susan Tan. And of course, I couldn't have made this episode without the man, the myth, the legend, Chuck Severance. If you want to know what else I learned about car buying, just go to millennialpodcast.org and click episode 15. To keep tabs on the next episode of Millennial, follow us on Twitter at @MillennialPDCST. Like podcasts without the vowels, or on Facebook. And if you want to send the show a shout out, rate us on iTunes. If you have story pitches, I'm all ears. Just send an email to stories@hearmillennial.org. I'm Megan Tan, and thanks for listening.